It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. I'm Dave Richmond, a very special edition as we have the Monmouth preview, as we're doing the baseball preview, and we'll have a lot of cool stuff today. In fact, with me right now is Kyle from LaGrange Barber. What's up, man?
What's going on, dude? Just sitting here enjoying a cocktail and talking to you. It's going to be an amazing night.
Yes, it is. I love how you got our – that's our secret word, by the way, folks. We need to do a promotion every time we have a secret word like Pee Wee's Playhouse. I love that. Bubba Rosenbaum will be with us later. It's me and Kyle right now for what we call the round table. We talk about ECU topics and other things that come to mind. Like we're king of ad libs on some of the stuff on the round table. But I'm really excited about – let's go ahead and cut to the chase. Very excited about, once again, we can't say enough good about our new administration. Oh, my goodness, what a breath of fresh air. As season tickets over 1,000% higher. How about that, my friend? 1,065% or something like that. Anyway, higher.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. I mean, I would love to know that equates to in day one ticket sales
right
last year. I mean, in 2018, our day one ticket sales might have been 100. So,
yeah.
So it wouldn't take much. But that's great. I mean, I do think the William & Mary thing with Virginia Tech, I do think that will still have a negative impact. But I do think season ticket sales, with the excitement for Coach Houston coming in here, are going to be way up. They did a really good job marketing the on-sale date. I think that's something in the past. I remember some years it's just kind of snuck up.
Yeah,
when they went
right
on sale. So I think they did a great job marketing the on sale date. The promotions to get people in there early to buy them were good. I think that's not something I remember in the past.
I've never seen that.
Sales. No, it's a good idea. So no complaints. There was confusion with me and a couple other people on the whole parking pass thing, with some of the wording and the meaning behind, like, you must buy a parking pass.
The word must was the problem.
You only have to buy a parking pass if you want to buy a parking pass. Nobody gets a free parking pass with any level of Pirate
That's
Club
the change,
donation
right.
anymore. That's the change. If you don't want a parking pass, you don't have to buy one. Or if you're like me and you park at CMF's middle school and you buy your parking pass through them and you're just happy with where you park and you want to keep parking there, you certainly can.
Right.
So that I was unclear on that, and I think a couple other people were. So that was clarified.
And you know what's refreshing is I was going to tell you that I emailed Ryan for you and for people wanting to know, and he emailed me back very quick, to ask for clarification. He said, no, you don't need to buy, the parking pass if you want, like we were just talking about. And it's great to have an administration, like he said on the podcast, there are no secrets. And he was quick to email me back, and that was like the days of when I read the email this morning, I thought about you and Terry Holland, how
I used to email Coach Holland almost on a daily basis, particularly during conference expansion, when that was hot and heavy, whether we were going to the Big East, when Conference USA was getting invaded and we were
right.
like we were going to be left out. Me and Holland used to email almost daily. To get a response like that from Ryan's great. I haven't reached out to John Gilbert like that yet. I don't know if you have. I don't know what his response time is. But Ryan, you talking about going back to Holland. Well, Scott Weatherby used to have Ryan's position. And that was a guy that was a guy that you could always reach out to and always be willing to help you out. And looks like Ryan's come from the same mold. I think Shelley Vinegar, under the previous administration, probably had good intentions. But just
right.
did not know how to
relate that.
Did not know how to relate to Pirate Nation.
Right, and it's one of those things now where, like you said before, when the bar was so low that when they're doing the right thing,
exactly,
it is, it's amazing. There you go. I did that on purpose, but it is great that
it is amazing.
They, that they are being so good to us, and they should be. It's not like that we don't deserve it. That we should be.
I mean, you should be good to your fan base. I mean,
right.
I know
customers.
I know it seemed like there for a while that we were an afterthought. You know, who needs the fans?
Right. But, I think they found out when we became a few million dollars in debt. You kind of need
yes.
the fans, and you, as Dave Hart would say, we need the football program to be healthy.
Yeah, what's Dave doing now? I haven't heard.
Pretty much, I saw him at the whenever we had the signing day.
Okay, well,
then
good.
He and his wife, and I'm glad that he stayed on to help out with fundraising because that's one area. That we need, and I think that when Ryan was on and we were talking about, again, one of my things I harp on is a master plan. I think that's something that you'll see where, again, if with Kyle loving the football team, one of the things I want to see, speaking
right.
of which, I mentioned on that podcast with Ryan, please, please, please improve the Wi-Fi. My Wi-Fi at home is
yeah.
better.
And that would be amazing if they improved the Wi-Fi. Because
there you go.
It has gotten better, honestly.
A little bit.
Yeah, with cellular. With the,
yeah.
I don't really know how much ECU has to do with that, how much Verizon U.S. Cellular has to do with that.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's them working together.
I'll tell you what. Wait a minute. Let me just make this point real fast. You know why the cell phone? You know why the Wi-Fi is better?
Not as many people were there, but
exactly.
When you got that many people there in a small area, it is going to take some bandwidth.
Yeah,
and
that's understandable.
But we do. If you're going to have interactive stuff, if you're going to have, hey,
yeah.
tweet this or Facebook
right.
that or Instagram this, then you need to be able to do it.
Right.
And, you know, for me at the game now. I will say this past year we did seem to do a better job of putting scores on the damn scoreboard.
Oh, my God,
but,
that was another one. That is something that we, like, for example, that's the one reason why I use my phone the most during
me
the game.
Me too, exactly.
Is to text you guys yeah. because you guys are on the north side and I'm on the south side, and my friends that are across the country that are Pirate fans who live far away or whatever, they're trying to find out about the game or they're watching the game.
Right.
And, oh, my
yeah.
God,
well,
what a play right there.
Well, I try to check scores, other scores.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about. Okay, and
right.
And if I can't get my damn ESPN app to work right, or if it's going slow as, you know, having a 28K modem, it sucks. And we did do a better job this past year putting scores up on the scoreboard from other games, and hopefully they'll continue doing that. But that's something that, you know, if we could get better bandwidth, John Gilbert, Ryan Robinson, whoever would be in charge of that, we could get better cellular internet service there at the stadium. That would be great because you do need to be interactive on social media with today's game with the
yeah.
students. Though I will say this, maybe it'd be good to get some of the 18 to 23 year olds off their phones for a little while. But I do know that, you know, they want to be interactive during the game, and there's promotions, and it has gotten better. Hopefully, it'll continue to get better.
Here's
go ahead.
I was just going to make a quick point. I know in 2014, I had a source that used to work in the athletic department that retired, unfortunately. But fortunately for him, unfortunately for us, but he told me he was in a meeting and they said to properly do the Wi-Fi, like, to the level that we needed to be for 50,000 people would run us $8 million.
Wow.
Which is a big number. I'm not saying it's not a big number, but if you said, to me, that's important. So if you said, hey, look, we're trying to raise money to improve the Wi-Fi where you'll be able to be, you know, every home game, you're going to have a tremendous experience and blah, 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 I would give money towards that campaign. We've got to just do a better – I think what it comes down to, like we've talked about for years over the last year on this podcast, and this administration has already shown, this regime, the new one, that they're doing a better job communicating, but just communicate what the needs are and
yeah.
say, hey, we need Wi-Fi, and maybe some of the big wigs can, you know, get a checkbook out and they have them come up with $2 or $3 million, and then
maybe we do something creative. Maybe,
yeah.
maybe we let Verizon have some naming rights to something for a year.
Right.
to provide us with better Wi-Fi. I don't know.
Where is the Verizon? First down.
Yeah, there you go. They actually, John Gilbert, Southern Miss, they sold that. They do, at USM, they do, their thing is, where it's another Golden Eagle first down, or no, it's a Southern Miss first down to the top, and their fans after the first down say to the top, where we say first down Pirates. They'll go, first to 10, Southern Miss, to the top. That's what their fans will say. And this past year, they did. I don't know who the sponsor was. We'll say, I don't know, Tom's Snacks. It's another Tom's Snacks, Southern Miss, first down. So that John Gilbert actually did sell that, which you're talking about.
Oh, Southern wow, Miss, that's cool.
Oddly enough, it's coincidental. You just mentioned that.
I mean, I know our friend Dr. John Bream. I believe he was the one that brought it up. I have no problem selling the name rights for if it's a local industry, if it's a national brand, whatever,
yeah. No,
stadium, you know, still have whatever, and then at Dowdy Ficklin Stadium, you know, Bagway Field. I mean, I have no problem.
You could do something even more creative than that. I mean, you could see Pirate Football presented by, you know,
right.
U.S. Cellular at Dowdy Ficklin Stadium. I mean,
there's
all kinds of ways to do things. So, naming rights.
We need to. You know, we should do a podcast. Maybe we can do that when things slow down latter part of the spring or summer on ideas, like revenue ideas, and have people, maybe we could do a live podcast.
Yeah, I know. I got a good revenue idea, but North Carolina would have to change some laws for it to happen.
Oh, well, okay. I wonder if I think I may know what that one is. But anyway,
it's probably not the one you're talking about there. That's just across the board. But I'm talking about at stadiums, make it legal where you can sell alcohol.
And there was another thing I was thinking. But
well, I know the other thing you're thinking about, but that's a different podcast for a different time.
Yeah.
You can join me at 4:20 in the afternoon for that podcast.
Okay.
But as far as the selling alcohol on campus, that's something that
they can make a ton.
Yes. And not only at ECU, but across the board. But
I think
it's got to be changed. You can't do that right now on an on-campus stadium, except
right.
in enclosed areas.
And I would be in favor of, and I will say this, at least give us that. Like, in, for example, thank God for the visionary Cliff Godwin. Appreciate you, man, for all that you're doing for the baseball program. And that left field, that beer garden they're going to have in left field,
yeah.
You can't leave the beer garden, but at least if you're drinking beer, you can watch the game in left field, and I mean, my God, I mean, the Pirates drinking the Pirates. I mean,
well, here's the whole thing about the football thing and why it's a silly thing and why North Carolina needs to change that wall. Everybody's drinking. Well, not everybody. I don't drink before the games, and I wouldn't drink at the football games. Maybe under the Scotty Montgomery era, I would have.
but in general, you know, I do drink. I'm drinking tonight. But in general, at football games, I don't drink. I don't go tell
right.
them to drink before the game. Because I take the game very serious, and I want to, and my dog, I hope that's not showing up on the audio here, my dog's squeaking her toy, but I
take Nikki to the game.
Exactly. My point was, people get drunk before the game. Most people that would drink during the game are already blistered or at least got a good buzz when they come into the stadium anyway. So
it's
really not going to change anything in terms of making it less family-friendly, which I'm guessing is the concern.
Well, there's a way to fix that. It's an easy thing to do. What you do is you say, all right, you bums that are in section blah, blah, blah. I don't even say people think I'm – but whatever sections are the – you can designate family sections, or you can have where these are the party zones. This is your party zone, pirate party zone, or –
Well, I mean, you
could
do that, but
that.
I mean, I just say, just sell alcohol. I mean, look.
Yeah, but if you get, have you ever, my dad won't come to a football game because something that happened in the 1960s where a guy spilled liquor all over him. I mean, you know, it's like, I know they can bring the liquor in there, but.
Your dad hasn't come to a football game because of something that happened in the 60s?
Yeah. He goes he'll go to basketball or baseball, but. You know, that football.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know your dad. Your dad's a good guy, but that's just a that sounds like he's letting something bother him that much that shouldn't bother him that much.
Well, I'm just saying it can happen. You can have, in other words, we want to have, I don't have a problem with selling.
Well, somebody hit me in the back of the head with a beer at a Hank Williams Jr. concert. I still go to concerts.
I know. I'm just saying that we are, I'm just saying that there are people that would be offended by that, a beer spilled on them or, know, we already have to deal, but we already have to deal with people that could potentially spill alcohol on us anyway. The other thing is, I wonder how much, in other words, I wonder how much less people would drink if they knew that they could buy the alcohol. That's the
in
other thing
the stadium,
I thought about.
That's a good question.
Because I remember seeing people and they were just down in beers like nobody's business because it was 30 minutes before the game.
Yeah, probably less.
Or an hour
they
before.
They probably would less. Then again, if the beers are $8 a pop, maybe not.
fan first pricing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something we can talk about on another podcast.
Yeah.
The revenue it would create being able to sell alcohol at the game.
Oh my God.
Unreal. And not only that, you know, one reason we've had a problem getting a foothold on concerts at Minji's and at Dottie Ficklin and getting it done on a regular basis is because you can't sell beer and alcohol. You know, when you're having a country music concert or a rock concert, you want to be able to buy beer. And I think that's one of the big problems why we haven't been able to make that a consistent thing and get the turnout we want. It's because one of the reasons is because people can't buy beer.
Yeah, I feel like that right now with us, the biggest thing is how we can create more revenue. And, of course, we can definitely talk about that. But kudos to our good friends and the administration. I feel like they're friends and not foes like we had before.
Absolutely.
And no doubt. But anyway, we're gonna definitely see a great increase in in ticket sales because of the man we have at the top of the football program. Right. I'll stand by my record of 7-1 7-1. Man, that'd be nice. 7-5.
Or 8-game season, 7-1. 7-5 would be great. I'm not going to make a prediction on the record just yet. Got to see how spring ball plays out and all that kind of stuff. But I expect to see a drastically improved product on the field in terms of competitiveness and the way we go about doing business.
Yep, we're going to do that. Speaking of competitive, certainly the Pirates are more competitive on the baseball diamond. Disappointing loss, by the way, my friend, on Wednesday night at Campbell. Blue streak,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
We didn't start off. Cliff Godwin said, I was going to say, he said they didn't wake up until the eighth inning. I think that's very true.
Right. Well, also, we didn't have Packard, we didn't have Brickhouse.
Yeah.
And we don't have which should be your two best hitters. That's going to take something out of your lineup, obviously.
I thought Gavin Williams did a lot better than what I expected.
He did, and he pitched well. And it was disappointing. Look, midweek ball is midweek ball. You're going to lose some goofy games. And Campbell's not a bad program.
No, that's what I was going to say. I don't want to sound like that. If it was like an easy team and we lost to them, the Campbell's made a regional two out of the last 3 years. Justin Hare, who was on our podcast for the Campbell preview, you got to tip your hat to the guy. The guy's a very good coach. He's built a great program. Campbell's a great university. I think that it's great that that Campbell will play us. A lot of the in-state programs will play us except for one.
I think Campbell will. They'll play us. Yeah, I think so. I think it's more the other way around. We'll play Campbell.
But you know what? The team that – I won't name their name, but the team that won't play us will play like everybody else except for us.
Well, NC State and Elliott Avery won't play us this year. And look, I, to be honest with you, and I respect Coach Fox, but they're only playing us at their place this year.
Duke is giving us home and home.
To be honest with you, I want to play Carolina this year. If they couldn't come here, too, I wouldn't play them. That's just me. Coach Godwin evidently didn't have a problem with it this year, but I wouldn't have played them. If they weren't going to give us a return game, I wouldn't have played them.
NC State wouldn't even give us a game in Raleigh.
Well,
I guess the field's not ready.
I know. I guess I guess not. But anyway.
They're doing some renovations, I guess, on the turf, or they're doing a new field or something.
They suck.
Anyway, I'll stop with the jab, sir.
But we got Monmouth this weekend, and
yeah,
that'll be an interesting series. They're normally a pretty good team up there in their conference, and coached by a former Pirate, a coach, Dean Ehalt. Overton player. Yeah, what's his name?
Dean Ehalt.
Yeah, and he played for Coach O, and they're always pretty good. So, a competitive. It'll probably be a more competitive series this weekend than what people realize, because like I say, they typically play pretty decent ball.
The thing about college baseball that is tricky, and what I mean by the word tricky is a lot of people don't recognize, it's kind of like a snake, they come up and bite you. A lot of people that don't have a quote-unquote brand name on them, you know, oh, what is that college or whatever, and then they beat the crap out of you. Monmouth is one of those teams that's well-coached, 25 years with Coach Ehalt. That's where he's originally from. In the Jersey area there, and interesting, has a story. I tell you what, let's go ahead and do that interview with him, and we'll come right back. Well, we've got a big game, big series this weekend with Monmouth, and right now the 25th-year head coach of the Monmouth Hawks, and that's Coach Dean Ehalt. Coach, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
I know it has to be special. I know this is not your first time coming back to the Pirates as your alma mater, but I know it's got to be special to come back to Greenville and play the Pirates.
It always is. A special place in my life, and a lot of friends still stay in touch with people, and some great times when I was younger.
I want to ask you really quick. I know you played for Coach O. You transferred in. What was it like in 1986 and 1987 to play for Coach Gary Overton?
Well, first of all, it was an honor to be on the team, and, really formed some great relationships with the teammates. Coach Overton was, kind of a mentor to all of us, Coach Overton, Coach Best, and, really molded and shaped my coaching desires.
I wanted to ask you, I know that you got your undergrad in 87, you graduated, and then 1990 you got your master's. Did you coach, were you a GA under Coach Overton? That was one question I had for you I wasn't sure on.
Yeah, I was a GA in 88, 89.
Okay.
And, GAs were a little bit different back then. So I was more of a GA through the health and physical education department and, coached as well. So I learned a great deal at that point, and, that was a great opportunity and certainly helpful moving forward.
Wanted to ask you about, I know with Monmouth, you've been there 25 years. Can you talk about your career there with the Hawks?
Well, I'm a local guy, so this is my home community, and it was, always thought it was a sleeping giant way back, when I first started, and we were able to get things going pretty fast, and we built a competitive program, in the late 90s, and, we feel like we've, helped serve since then, and we've been pretty consistent with our level of play, and we certainly play a very competitive non-conference schedule, such as coming down to play ECU and, the likes of the other schools that we schedule. So we're really proud of what we've built here. And, the next step is to get a turf facility. And the next step is to, continue get back to those regionals, which are so hard to do.
It really is. It seems like easy, but every coach I talk to is like it's a lot of games and anything can happen. 15 weeks in the regular season. And you never know. And then, of course, the postseason is a different season upon itself. You guys, I know, started one of my favorite places, the USA Baseball Training Facility in Cary. I know you didn't like the outcome but for the weekend, but I know with Penn State, it was a great opportunity on the road and right before the Pirates.
It's always good to get outside. We're really strapped with the weather up here, just as every other school in the north is. And we place a big emphasis on team development, and those days going down on the weekends, and regardless of the outcome, we're going to get better moving forward, and it'll pay dividends later on in the season.
Well, that was the point I was going to ask you about, team building. When you have guys on the road, you can't go back to the dorms or go back to your apartment. You guys are kind of, whether some of the guys like it or not, they're stuck together, right?
Yeah, that's the good part about the early season you know, how we set up and how we kind of manage our pre-conference weekend. It's so valuable. We're together. There's some adversity with weather. There's bus rides. There's, you know, the togetherness is something that's extremely valuable.
I know that certainly with the team, can you give us an idea about, have you announced a starting pitcher for Friday's game?
Well, Dan Klepcheck will start Friday. He's our best guy, and he was Rookie of the Year last year in our conference, and he threw well last weekend. He's a guy that's you know, extremely competitive. Not going to light up the radar gun, but he can really pitch, and he's good. He's our Friday guy. So we're hoping that Dan can continue to come out and set the tone on Friday.
I know he pitched. Was it 6 2/3 innings? He had a really good outing, and you guys. Lost a close one there, 1-0 on Friday.
Yeah, he threw well. He's a real fighter and makes big pitches when he needs to, and he's not a big not a high velocity guy, but he can really compete, and that was very indicative of what he did last year for us, the same type of outing on Friday.
I know two of your great hitters are Danny Long, is it Shield? Is that right?
Zach Shield and
Shield,
Danny Long.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know those are two of your great, I know for Pirate fans listening or Monmouth fans listening, those two guys are the guys that are two of your better hitters, right?
Correct. You know, we had Danny led off for us last year. Zach hit in the middle of the order. Kyle Norman also he was really good last year in 2018. We're looking to kind of mold some younger guys in the middle of the order to kind of create some protection and some options to, you know, create some offense. But Zach and Danny are, you know, pretty important in the run production side of things for us.
I'm a pitching nerd. How is your pitching this year? I know coaches are kind of low key about everything, but do you feel really good about your pitching stuff?
I do. I think our pitching is going to be one of our strengths. We have a lot of young guys that can really contribute in some fashion. It's going to be just first 3 or 4 weekends sorting everything out and seeing where everything settles about the first or second week in March. So we're really excited about some of the young arms we have, and I'm sure we'll get a chance to see them in Greenville this weekend.
And what about as far as coming to Greenville? What do you know about as far as the fans? So you played in Greenville. Can you tell Pirate fans what it's like to when you? I guess it's a unique experience being that you are from Monmouth, that area. You come down here, but you actually played for the Pirates. What do you think about the fans of Pirate Nation?
It's an unbelievable atmosphere. So proud to be, you know, part of it. I you know, the Pirate Nation is a really close-knit community. When I go out to eat and see people with ECU shirts on, you know, it's an immediate conversation piece. And there's a lot of great things that happen there in every sport, not just baseball, but the tradition that those guys have built in baseball and the long-standing tradition is something that I'm really happy to be a part of as a player. And, you know, it's a first-class atmosphere. The people are nice. I remember a couple years ago we went down there and we played in the Keith LeClair tournament.
Right.
And the fans were rooting for us when we didn't play ECU. So that was kind of a neat thing. Very hostile environment. Like, hopefully it's 70 and sunny, and, you know, we fill the stadium because I think it'll be valuable for our guys to play in that kind of environment. And really, really appreciate the ECU fans. Actually had a few of the left field fans show up at one of our games a few years ago, and that was kind of a special thing. So really just a special place, great place, and, you know, it's a something every college baseball fan should experience.
Yes, they should. I want to ask you, your time in Greenville, did you have any hot spots as far as, like, places you like to go out to eat or maybe the clubs at that time you were there?
Well, you know, some of them I can talk about, some of them I can't.
okay, you know, I'll leave. We'll leave those alone.
I do have a responsibility to the young men that I coach right now, but
right.
There were some really good spots back in the day. Of course, downtown was hot when I went to school. You know, back then, we just kind of hung out as a team, you know, had great friendships and went to downtown, played some cards, did some things like that. It was, there was always, We never had trouble finding things to do in Greenville, that was for sure. And I'm not sure how it is now, but the memories are there. I still talk to folks. I know that some of the places I used to like to go were Chi-Chi's. I don't know if that's still there. Mexican place.
Chico's? Yeah, Chico's.
Chico's. Yeah. Is that still there?
It is.
That's wonderful.
It's still going strong, and they have a great downtown atmosphere. They've been there for, I think, since 1983, if my memory serves me right.
Right, and there were some other places that we used to go to that were, you know, that were kind of neat. And so it's grown a bunch, but that's old news, you know. I know that people have better things to do than listen to me talk about what I did in 1987.
Well, Coach, I know you guys are getting ready, and the interesting thing is for you guys don't have a midweek game, so you guys actually have, you'll get a chance to rest up before you come down for the Pirates.
Yeah, we're practicing in the gym today. It's snowing outside. Yeah, we're well rested. 9.5-hour bus ride. So if that equates to being well rested, we'll be very well rested.
Well, good luck to you. Hopefully we get a chance to meet you, and thank you for the time. And it's always great to hear when fellow Pirates are doing very well, and I know the Pirate Nation will be very good to you guys as well.
Looking forward to it, Dave. Thanks so much.
Great catching up with Coach Ehalt. Appreciated him very much. They have a 9-hour bus ride, so we talked to him ahead of time. Yeah. So, and the interesting thing will be another thing is, guess what? You and I both, especially, I know, I would say the winner goes to you being the biggest weather geek on the program. Looks like the weather's not going to be very cooperative once again, but welcome to North Carolina. Who knows by the time we drop this podcast today and Friday.
I'll check the weather right now. I don't have my reading glasses on, but it looks like a chance of rain Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So,
yeah, you see what I mean?
Yeah, that's quite good. Have to try to get the games in. Looks like in the forecast, a nice sunny day Monday for the Monday game.
Yeah, we have Air Force coming.
Air Force is playing Navy this weekend in Kinston at the Freedom Classic. They're going to stay in town to play us on Monday night. And so that's an odd day to play a game is on a Monday. What time is that game Monday, Dave?
I think it's like 4 o'clock. It's
4 o'clock first pitch. Okay.
Yeah.
It's an odd day to play a game. But you know, it's kind of cool to play Air Force. That's anytime you can play any of the academies at anything, it's a pretty neat deal.
By the way, folks, I want to remind you that Coach Kaz that came on with me from the Air Force Academy, great guy, friends with surprise with Cliff Godwin.
How many years have you been there?
Oh my gosh, he was he served 20 years in the Air Force, and he's been there a number of years, and he was just a really cool guy. Oh my gosh, your personality is.
Okay, wow. I've met him. If it's the same head coach that was there around 2012, 2013.
Yeah, he's been there a number of years.
The first year of the Freedom Classic, I met him. We printed shirts. We still print shirts for the Freedom Classic. But the first year, they stopped by and visited everybody at work. The Air Force team did, and the coach came by and stopped by and thanked us for the shirts and all for the Freedom Classic. We printed specific shirts for the Freedom Classic and then specifically for Air Force and Navy. And the Air Force guys stopped by and say, hey, and he was a really nice guy, really friendly, joked a lot.
That's him. Yeah, he was awesome. And what we're going to do, folks, we're going to drop those. Here's the situation we're in with Coach Kaz and Coach Kennedy that we play. We play Monmouth, obviously, on the weekend. We have Monday, we have Air Force. Wednesday, the midweek game is the typical day that we play would be Tuesday or Wednesday. Wednesday, we have a big game against Elon. Don't overlook those guys. Coach Kennedy, talk to him. Coach Kennedy is going to be on with us. Let's go ahead and promote what we've got coming up. Sunday night, we have our very first live podcast for Extra Innings that we started last week. And so we're going to try to do it as much as we can live, and it'll be a great show.
We'll be taking your calls.
That's right. You can talk to Kyle from LaGrange.
Do you have that number to give out at this point, Dave, or not yet?
I do. I don't have it memorized yet, so
I don't have it in front of you. Okay. Well, wait a minute. Maybe I can get it before this podcast is over.
Yeah. I think I texted you guys, so.
You did.
It's 909 area code, so I remember that. I believe that's right. But anyway, you can call in, and we're going to actually have Corey Gore is coming on. I know we've got some other special guests that I don't want to give away just yet. Plus, we're going to hear from Coach Cass from the Pirate Nation.
I don't mean to interrupt you, David, but Pirate Nation, call in Sunday night. Do you know what time we're going to be on the air?
I believe we're going to try to do it 7 to 9, bearing if we have any kind of rain delays, if it's, you know, baseball. We're hoping that we can be on 2 hours on Sunday night.
So the plan is 7 to 9, and for whatever reason it changes, check the Sports Objective Facebook feed, check the Sports Objective Twitter, and check WeekTheColors.com. We'll have updates there. But right now it's going to be from 7 to 9, the phone number you need to call if you want to ask questions, or you don't have to ask us questions, just give your commentary on the game. The baseball series against Monmouth and the upcoming game against the Air Force, and what you think of the baseball team. Kind of think of it as the fifth quarter call-in show for baseball. And the phone number is going to be area code 909-265-9235. That is area code 909-265-9235.
And that's where you give all your money to Kyle.
965-9235. So
your donations for Kyle, right?
Yeah, well, no donations. Just call in if you want to talk baseball, talk pirate ball on Sunday night, hopefully from 7 to 9, it's subject to time change. But that will be the number, 909-265-9235. And it'll be a lot of fun. I hope we get a lot of calls.
Yeah, I think we will. I think a lot of people have huge interest in baseball, Cliff Godwin, all the staff, what they've done. We've got the two interviews with the coaches from Elon, with Coach Kennedy, with the previews, and, of course, Coach Kaz as well for Air Force. It's a Monday game. We've got those for you. We'll go ahead and drop those in SoundCloud as well if you want to hear those.
Tell people where they're going to be able to listen to the podcast live, Dave. It won't be through all platforms live, will it? Or if there's certain places they're going to have to go to get it.
I believe it will be Apple and Stitcher, I think it is. But I know that definitely Apple for sure. And we'll have a link as well.
And you can go straight to Blog Talk Radio also, right?
Correct. BlogTalkRadio.com.
BlogTalkRadio.com, Apple,
the Sports Objective.
Yeah, and
I believe it's Blog. Yeah, we'll find out. We'll
provide information on social media and Hoist the Colors of where to listen to it live, and we hope you tune in Sunday night and call in.
And we've actually had a lot of feedback on the one of the reasons why we're trying to do more live stuff is a lot of people have given us a lot of kudos on doing the live events we've done. This particular case will be a live podcast as much as possible. We're trying to see if we can do it every single Sunday night. That's the goal and the plan. And we've got more of these things planned too, by the way, just not only for baseball, but for the show itself. So 2019 is going to be absolutely huge. We're going to do a big event on the spring game for football on April 13th. That's Saturday. And we'll, when time gets closer and we know more about the spring game, we'll be able to release a time and location and everything. I think you guys already know where it's going to be, but we'll try to find out the time. So we'll get that right, but we don't know exactly then. Spring practice rather starts March 15th. So for football, hey, let's go now to Bubba, who's standing by. He's got a big weekend. By the way, Kyle, the spring sports are kicking booty right now, all including softball and track. Everything is doing well right now. Amazing what happens when you get a new athletic director. But anyway, and Steph, Kyle, very proud of the new administration. And again, I think that you're seeing, because of the new administration, it's just coincidental, but look at all the sports. We're literally every sport is winning right now in spring sports. off to a great start. And I know that everybody could argue with basketball, but basketball is a winter sport. But the basketball team is heading the right direction. We're having a lot of great the recruiting by the Dooley and his staff. Oh, my God. Have you seen all the guys they're going after? And actually we have a chance to get? I mean, it's just amazing how it's night and day right now.
Yeah. I just for full disclosure, I really don't keep up with basketball recruiting like I do football recruiting. But I do know that we're going after some guys, you know, that typically we maybe wouldn't have gone after in the past. And
yeah,
you got to get some of those kids if you're going to compete in the American.
Well, I think that some people may have the mindset of, and I'm not picking on previous coaches, but the mindset that they'll never come to East Carolina. It's no use to even try to get them. But I'm the guy, you and I, and I know Bubba is too, that we love East Carolina so much. Like, I'm like,
well,
why wouldn't you come?
Sometimes there's kids that will come to East Carolina and you don't recruit them as hard as you should, and they even
they
want
to
come
Boston
here
College.
And they go to Boston College instead.
Temple. I mean, there's a whole bunch of guys right now.
One particular kid at Boston College is really, really
booming.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that one, you know, he used to drop left and right. But the good news is now that we have the staff that we have, I'll tell you right now, Rockerford, and for example, look at the, I know you're Mr. ACC, Kyle. It's amazing. But anyway,
yeah.
Virginia Tech was an absolute joke. And I'm sorry for the Hokie fans, but
I mean, they still are.
Basketball, they were a top 25. They're really good.
I mean,
basketball.
The university itself, I thought it was a joke.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, yeah. I love the university, but hopefully they'll get.
Well, let me put it like this: their athletic administration's a joke.
Yeah, that's the way I feel. Yeah, I love the school, but they've got to get a new athletic administration. But anyway, their basketball team is way improved. And guess who recruited a lot of those players on the basketball team? Anyone in the back? Yeah, Steve Rockerford. He's a heck of a recruiter. You've got Potasnik, this great recruiter that was on the Lebo staff that was retained. You have with Rockerford coming in.
Rocco
Chilius.
Yeah, Chilius.
Oh, my God. And then when you have Joe Dooley by himself, is awesome. So when you put those four together, wow. So anybody that is down on basketball, then I would you need to really investigate what's going on before you make judgments. You can't judge 9-16 right now when literally we were without three guys, three key pieces last year that we don't have this year. And then, you know, it's just all kinds of crap that's going on that Dooley was dealt with a bad hand. So I'll make
we're playing with a young team,
year.
And we need some size. We need some size, and we need some guys
desperately
from the outside.
Yeah, and you give this, I really believe that you give this program two more years and you'll see the fruits of the labors of this hard team. So you don't even have to worry about, that. Kyle, again, before we go, we need to talk about extra innings because it's going to be amazing. That's the secret word.
It's going to be amazing.
By the way, we got a Sports Objective drinking game, the first one. Every time we've said amazing, you can go back and listen tonight. And every time we say amazing, you have to do a shot.
That
sounds
right.
Like an ECU thing. So, but anyway, extra innings is going to come up Sunday night. And we don't want to forget, we have a basketball preview coming out tomorrow, being Saturday. Pirates are taking on Tulane. And we're going to have one of Kyle's favorites, Todd Graffanini.
One of all our favorites. We all love Graff.
Yes.
He is an entertaining dude, a great personality. Todd's a lot of fun. So,
why
does
he have a podcast
Graff.
Or a show?
I guess because he's paid by Tulane to do their sports, but he really, to me,
a local show.
I think he could do a national.
Oh yeah,
sports show. He has that kind of charisma and personality. He's good.
And if that were not enough, we also have Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News and the Big Network. He comes back on talking about the basketball races for the conference and teams, and a fantastic guy. The guy of that caliber, it's funny how we have certain people that won't come on, but that's fine. But you have Mike DeCourcy come on, you're like, wow, one of the biggest basketball writers in the country, on the Big Network for the Big Ten. Very complimentary, I think, of East Carolina. But you'll get to hear that interview as well for our basketball preview for Tulane, and that's going to be coming out early Saturday, late Friday night, late tonight or early tomorrow. We'll have that out as well. So don't forget, again, Sunday, we want to remind folks, what is it called, Kyle?
Extra innings, Sports Objective Extra Innings. And, guys, join us. Join us for the join us live for Extra Innings. And see if I can get that phone number again.
909. I know that was.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Here we go. It's 909. Let me start that over. 909-265-9235. That is area code 909-265-9235. That it will get you to the Sports Objective Extra Innings. And you can call and talk Pirate Baseball with us Sunday night. And like I said, hopefully it'll be from 7 to 9. That is subject to change.
Yep.
And it'll be a lot of fun. And we hope to hear from you and call and say what you want. I mean, if you're pleased, displeased, you have concerns, you want to put somebody over, say how great they are. If you have a crush on Bubba, maybe you want to call and confess your love to Bubba. You can do that too.
I mean, we don't need to have jealous wives on the podcast.
Well, who says it's going to be a female?
Oh, well, that's true. Well, she'll be jealous anyway. But don't forget about that. Social media, please like our Facebook page. A lot of people are doing that. Twitter has been, people have been really following us. Thank you very much. A lot of people doing that. We're also, the handle, by the way, is at TheSportsOBJ. We have that. We have Instagram. You can follow us, the Sports Objective. And Kyle, I know you want for people to leave a 5-star review, right?
5 stars is all we want. We don't want 4 stars. We don't want 3 stars. Damn sure don't want to be first 1 star, but we do want the 5-star review. Take the time to leave a 5-star review, guys. It'll take you a minute. You don't even have to write anything. And even if you hate us, give us 5 stars and tell us how much you suck.
There you go. And don't forget, folks, hopefully we can get those games in with Monmouth. I want to thank Coach Dean E. Hall, who is a Pirate grad and coached under Gary O. and Coach Overton. So appreciate him very much. Appreciate you, Kyle, buddy. And, of course, Bubba Rosenbaum. I'm Dave Richmond. Thanks for listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.